नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, The Creation of the Fourth Order, Chapter 29, talks between Narada Muni and King Prachinibarhi. And what we're going to do is two verses. Even though both have long purports, we're not going to do two verses with two long purports. The reason we're doing two, even though they both have long purports, is because by Thursday, when Janani Vas Prabhu gives class, we're going to all be all together downstairs, Bengali-speaking devotees and English-speaking devotees, having a simultaneous class, whether we like it or not. And so the Bangla-speaking devotees yesterday, they had 61, even though it was Ekadashi, and Prabhupada gave an Ekadashi class. They had their Bangla speaking class, so we have to catch up to them. So we're going to do two verses. So see if we can pull this off. Okay. So we're going to chant 62. That 62 on the board. I'll just say 61, and I have to. It's pretty important, so I have to bring you up to speed. We say, so we can go into 62. And first, I want to say, Om Ajnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Did I say Om Namo yet? No? Yes? Okay, boy, never get old. You spend half your time wondering what you did 5 minutes ago, you know. Okay. Okay, so a little review. Narada Muni is continuing to try to persuade Maharaj Prachinibarhishat, Barhishman, Prachinibarhi, take your pick, to get off the Karmakanda platform and surrender to Krishna. Because his great-great-great forebear, Dhruva Maharaj, did, and his own sons are self-realized souls. So come on, Dad. Let's get with the program here, surrender to Krishna. So Narada Muni's already spoken the Paranjan Leela, and Prachinibarhi said, could you, as we say, unpack that? Could you spell it out? Could you elaborate on that? So then he told him the whole King Malayadvaja and Vaidarbhi. And now the king is receptive enough for the punchline, and so this is where Narada is really telling him, okay, just give it up, surrender to Krishna. The king asked a great question in text 59. He asked, the expert knowers of the Vedic conclusions say that one enjoys or suffers the results of his past activities. But practically it is seen that the body that performed the work in the last birth is already lost. So that body is dead and gone. So how is it possible to enjoy or suffer the reactions of that work in a different body? He wants to know the connection from body to how karma transfers, how that really works. So that's what we're going to find out. Yeah? Well, we already found out yesterday, I wasn't here, but Ishwar Puri Prabhu gave the class, and Narada Muni has answered that karma transfers via the subtle body, the what's called Linga Sharira in the 11th canto, the subtle body, where we try to enjoy with the help of the super soul. Okay, so now we're going to, I'll read text 61. Between 60 and 70, it's all about how karma transfers. And it's very important stuff because it directly affects our daily lives. And we really hear about it, you know, intricately and how it works. It really gives you pause. You know, what am I really thinking about? What am I really feeling? What am I really, what am I doing? Because it's preparing our future every moment. So in 61, I'll just read the translation to 60 that Puri did because it directly bears on 61. The great sage Narada continued, the living entity acts in a gross body in this life. This body is forced to act by the subtle body, composed of mind, intelligence, and ego. After the gross body is lost, the subtle body is still there to enjoy or suffer. So that's the principle. The subtle body is driving the gross body. And now Narada is going to give a real dramatic example of this. In text 61 he says, the living entity, while dreaming, gives up the actual living body. Through the activities of his mind and intelligence, he acts in another body, either as a god or a dog. That's Prabhupada's embellishment of the Sanskrit there. Either as a god or a dog. After giving up this gross body, the living entity enters either an animal body or a demigod's body on this planet or on another planet. He thus enjoys the results of the actions of his past life. Now, I'll just give you a couple of highlights from the purport because they really affect the verse we're going to stop on. Okay, so this is an example of a dream. And it's very interesting that actually what Narada Muni is saying was also intuited by William Shakespeare in his famous, when he has Hamlet deliver his famous to be or not to be speech. In Hamlet, Prince of Denmark, the situation is that Hamlet's father has been murdered, and he's so devastated, Hamlet's so devastated by the murder that he wants to take his own life. So he's contemplating suicide. You know, to be or not to be, that is the question. So down a little bit in the soliloquy, we hear Hamlet say, to die, to sleep. Then he thinks, to sleep, perchance to dream. Aye, there's the rub, the difficulty, there's the rub. For in that sleep of death, what dreams may come? When we have shuffled off this mortal coil, must give us pause. So he's perchance to dream. This suggests the possibility that there's life after death. Now, what dreams may come? In other words, Hamlet's thinking, would I really rest in peace? I mean, I'm suffering so much because my father's been murdered, but maybe there's something going on afterwards. Would I really rest in peace? Must give us pause means Hamlet's, he's considering. He doesn't know if he really should take the risk of killing himself because maybe there's going to be, you know, some nightmarish consequences. So the beauty of the Bhagavatam is that what Shakespeare only kind of intuited or mused about, the Bhagavatam has definite scientific answers for. So therefore the Bhagavatam is better than Shakespeare. Yeah, yeah. To be or not to be, that's not the question, right? Jayate Briyate Vakadachinayam Bhutva Bhavitava Nabuyaha Ajonit Yakshashvato Yam Parano Nahanyate Hanyamane Shaire. You know, in the first edition, they botched it. You know, the changes happened, by the way, in the first edition, for all you conspiracy theorists. The changes happened in the first edition. For example, in the first edition, it said, for the soul there is neither birth or death, nor having once been, does he ever cease to be. That's not our philosophy, I'm sorry. Nor having once been, no. Prabhupada, quoting Ramanujacharya, says that the soul is beginningless and endless. He doesn't come into being. In fact, it says, he has not, in the second edition, we got it right. He has not come into being, does not come into being, and will not come into being at any time. He is unborn, eternal, immovable, and all that good stuff. He is not slain in the body. Okay. All right. And also, in his commentary on 11.3.39 Bhagavatam, where Linga Shriva is brought up, the subtle body, Sridhar Swami is called the father of all Bhagavatam commentators, says that when we really fall into susupti, deep sleep, and there's no activity at all of the mind, you know, or senses. You know, you hear, you know, the doctors say, we need that, right? I mean, modern doctors say that even. Sridhar Swami says that when you wake up from this kind of deep, restful sleep, there's some kind of memory that still, that you slept well. And Sridhar Maharaj says, That intimation or that feeling or that experience that you slept well is an experience of the super soul. By the grace of the super soul, you've slept well and you have some kind of memory of that. Interesting. Okay. And let me just read a little bit from Prabhupada's purport from 61 before we chant 62. The conclusion is that the subtle body, mind, intelligence, and ego creates an atmosphere with desires and ambitions that the living entity enjoys in the subtle body. Now listen to this. Actually, the living entity is in the subtle body, even though the gross body apparently changes and even though he inhabits the gross body on various planets. Right, I'm inside these clothes, but I also have underclothes on, and then there's a body, and then, I'm deep within. I'm buried within. So we're really carried by the subtle body. As Krishna says in the 15th chapter, Shariram yadavapnoti yachchapyut kramatishvaraha krihit vaitani samyati vayargandhani vashaya. The living entity carries his material conceptions of, thus carries his material conceptions of life from one body to another, and thus he enjoys a particular set of sense objects. And then, shrotram chakshu sparshanam cha rasanam grahanam eva cha atishtaya manaschayam vishayan upasevate. The living entity thus takes another gross body with a particular type of ear, tongue, nose, and sense of touch. He thus enjoys a particular set of sense objects which are grouped about the mind. It's all about the mind. So we're carried by the mind, intelligence, and ego. Creates an atmosphere with desires and ambitions that the living entity enjoys in the subtle body. Actually, the living entity is in the subtle body, even though the gross body apparently changes and even though he inhabits the gross body in various planets. All the activities performed by the living entity in the subtle body are called illusory because they are not permanent. And also in the gross body. You know, we just call this awake because it's a longer dream. Right? I'm dreaming on this body. As long as I'm not awake, it's just another dream. We say it's either night dream or daydream. And then listen to this. Liberation means getting out of the clutches of the subtle body. That's real liberation. When we no longer are identifying, with the mental, what Krishna calls mental concoctions, sarvan parta mano gatan. We're not riding the mental chariot, forever hankering for what I don't have and lamenting for what I've lost. That's all the mental platform. Liberation from the gross body simply involves the transmigration of the soul from one gross body to another. So that's what Hamlet was worried about. He was sensing that there's more to me than this mortal coil. And so I don't know if I want to risk this, killing this body. It must give us pause. And so, when the mind is educated, okay, so that's enough for that. So we're going to go to, okay, so let's go to the verse. It is 62. Okay, we'll just chant line by line. Mamaite manasa yad yad. You like that? Yad yad? It means whatever. 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 Mamaite manasa yad yad. Asavahamiti bruvan. Asavahamiti bruvan. Tat puman radham. Vriniya tat puman radham. Karmayena punar babaha. Karmayena punar babaha. Material existence. I have to surrender to this microphone. Translation. This is Narada Muni still speaking. The living entity labors under the bodily conception of I am this, I am that. My duty is this, and therefore I shall do it. These are all mental impressions, and all these activities are temporary. Nonetheless, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the living entity gets a chance to execute all his mental concoctions. Thus he gets another body. Please repeat. The living entity labors under the bodily conception of I am this, I am that. My duty is this, and therefore I shall do it.
These are all mental
impressions. And all these activities are temporary. Nonetheless, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the living entity gets a chance to execute all his mental concoctions. Thus he gets another gross body. Srila Prabhupada's purport is a page and a half, so try to stay with it. Purport: as long as one is absorbed in the bodily conception, his activities are performed on that platform. So, if we're absorbed, whatever we're absorbed in, again, in the subtle body, then what we do reflects what's in the subtle. It's really all about what's going on up here. This is not very difficult to understand. In the world, we see that every nation is trying to supersede every other nation, and that every man is trying to advance beyond his fellow man. All these activities are going on under the name of advancement of civilization. What does Krishna say? Advancement of civilization is not. It's like when Prabhupada was preaching plain living and high thinking. The devotees sometimes would say, but Prabhupada, they think that's backwards. And Prabhupada said, you have to tell them backwards is forwards. Back to Godhead, back to sanity, back to sattva guna, back to plain living and high thinking, back to being able to, you know, offer food that's edible and breathe air that's breathable. I just read it in, you know, last week in Beijing, the air quality was 25 times higher than the danger level. And the hospitals are filled with, you know, everybody's coughing and sneezing. So I asked Mother Lakshmi Priya, I said, what about this? I'm never going to Beijing. She said, don't worry, it's like that every winter. And every summer. Just go in the spring and the fall, right? Okay. This is called advancement of civilization. That's the price, right? And they're the number one producers of goods, right, in the world. So the consequence is you can't breathe. This is called advancement of civilization. There are many plans for making the body comfortable, and these plans are carried in the subtle body after the destruction of the gross body. It is not a fact that after the gross body is destroyed, the living entity is finished. And now Prabhupada's going to give a line that he would say a lot in the spoken word too after he met with Professor C.G. Katovsky from the Moscow Institute, who said, Swamiji, after this body everything is finished. Not just Katovsky, but so many, but Prabhupada would quote Katovsky a lot. Prabhupada says, although many great philosophers and teachers in this world are under the impression that after the body is finished, everything is finished, this is not a fact. Narada Muni says in this verse that at death one takes his plans with him. So remember that. Yeah, we take our plans with us. What is that? Life is what happens while you're busy making plans. Actually, John Lennon didn't make that up. I always thought he did, but somebody writing in Reader's Digest in 1957 made that up. And Lennon polished it. Okay. Yeah, life is what happens when you're busy while you're busy making plans. Isn't it true? Either we're hankering or we're lamenting. We're always at the movies, as I like to say. We're at the movies of our mind. You know? We've got to be here now with Krishna. Narada Muni says in this verse that at death one takes his plans with him, grihi niyat, and to execute these plans he gets another body. This is called punar bhavaha. When the gross body is finished, the plans of the living entity are taken by the mind. And by the grace of the Lord, this sounds ironic, huh? And by the grace of the Lord, the living entity gets a chance to give these plans shape in the next life. This is, why is it grace? Because Krishna is not going to interfere. This is the beauty of Krishna. You know, he's the supreme controller, but he's not going to interfere with our fantasies. You know. Even when we, you know, declare that we want to come back home, back to Godhead. But there is a difference there. When we declare that, then Krishna tailors our fantasies. He handles our fantasies. He customizes our fantasies so that we learn some darn good lessons. Right? So we're not really under the law of karma, although it may seem like it, you know. It's customized karma. So you learn a lesson that you should have learned by hearing, like I'm preaching to myself here, and then you don't really hear it, or you don't believe it, or you don't want to believe it, and then you have to learn on the gross level, right? And then Krishna, but he does it in such a way, oh, okay, I get it now. So, this is by the grace of the Lord. The living entity gets a chance to give these plans shape in the next life. This is known as the law of karma. As long as the mind is absorbed in the laws of karma, a certain type of body must be accepted in the next life. One of the questions that Arjuna asked at the beginning of the 8th chapter of the Gita, because at the end of the 7th chapter, Krishna threw a lot of stuff at Arjuna, and he didn't explain it. So, at the beginning of the 8th chapter, we hear, you know, Arjuna uvacha, king tad brahma kim adhyatmam, king karma purushottama, adi bhutam cha king proktam, adi daivam kim uchate. You know, what is this material manifestation? What's karma? How does the Lord of Sacrifice live in the body? So, adi bhuta kriso sri bhagavana, adi bhutam shuro bhava. Actions pertaining to the development of this material body is called karma, or fruit of activities. So that's a real wake-up call. You know, as long as I'm making myself the center of my thinking, feeling, and willing, if I'm the center of it, I'm preparing another prison suit. It's that simple. Okay, here we go. Prabhupada says, karma is the aggregate of fruitive activities conducted to make this body comfortable or uncomfortable. Good karma, bad karma. Same prison suit, right? It's a prison suit. We have actually seen that when one another, here's something else you hear Prabhupada say a lot in the spoken word about, I have actually seen, you know, one man was begging his doctor, just give me 4 more years, right, to finish my plans. Those plans never end until we surrender. There's never any closure. Everybody was talking about closure. I just want closure, you know, with my this and that and these people and those. There's never any closure. There's always something in your inbox to deal with, right? Until we give up the game and surrender. We have actually seen that when one man was about to die, he requested his physician to give him a chance to live 4 more years so that he could finish his plans. This means that while dying, he was thinking of his plans. After his body was destroyed, he doubtlessly, Prabhupada says, this is interesting, you don't usually hear Prabhupada say this on the tape, but he says here, this means that while dying, he was thinking of his plans. After his body was destroyed, he doubtlessly carried his plans with him by means of a subtle body composed of mind, intelligence, and ego. Thus, he would get another chance by the grace of the Supreme Lord. He was begging the wrong person. Krishna already had. Okay, you wanted 4 more years? I'll give you 4 million more births if you want. You know, whatever you want, my dear Jiva. My dear foolish friend. Thus he would get another chance by the grace of the Supreme Lord, the Super Soul, who is always within the heart. Sarvasya chaham rinisan nivishto mattaks pitir jnanam apohanam cha. Oop, that's all Prabhupada quotes. Apohanam, forgetfulness. And elsewhere Prabhupada says that means sleep too. In the next birth, one acquires remembrance from the Super Soul and begins to execute the plans begun in the previous life. This is also explained in Bhagavad Gita in another verse. Ishwarak sarva bhutanam vrideshe arjuna tishtati brahmayam sarva bhutani yantra rudhani mayayam. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. See, all these things, you know, we have GPS systems now, right? Global, this Super Soul is actually he's doing all that. We're simply imitating, you know, the mystic yogis, or we're trying to imitate Krishna. Prabhupada writes, and that was Gita 1861, situated on the vehicle given by material nature and reminded by the Super Soul within the heart, The living entity struggles all over the universe to fulfill his plans, thinking, I am a Brahmin, I am a Kshatriya, I am an American, I am an Indian, and so on. All these designations are of the same essence. What does Prabhupada mean? Essence. They're all illusory. They're ephemeral. They're here today, gone tomorrow. As the air carries aromas, similarly the living entity carries his different conceptions of life from one body to another. So they're all the same. Prabhupada says, will-o'-the-wisp. Just very transitory. There is no point in becoming a Brahmin in preference to an American, or becoming an American in preference to a Negro. That's gone out of fashion, right? Prabhupada says a Negro. After all, these are all bodily conceptions under the modes of material nature. So now you know why I said Om Ajnana first, because it's late. Okay, so... All right. I'm just going to go right to the solution, because Prabhupada did that actually in the in 61. He gave the remedy. You know, Krishna and Prabhupada, they never leave us in the lurch, as they said, and they never leave us hanging, you know, by the neck of our own plans. But they give us the solution. So in Nectar Devotion, rather than go back and read those purport, I'm just going to read. Right in the introduction to Nectar Devotion, Prabhupada talks about the mental culture of Krishna consciousness. You know, we've identified the rub, the problem. It's right here, you know, the guy between our ears that we have to trap between the tongue and the ear. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And Krishna knows, Krishna feels our pain, right? He knows that the mind doesn't want to hear that. So it's going to run away to the movies and hanker for what it wants and lament for what it's lost. So Krishna says, Yato, yato, nischalati, manaschan, manas, again, manaschan chalamastiram tatastitoliyam yaitat, atman yeva vishangnai. From whatever and wherever, there's the yad yad again, from whatever and wherever the mind wanders, due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly... withdraw and bring it back under the control of the self. So here's the mental culture of Krishna consciousness that Prabhupada talks about in the introduction. Okay. Those who are cultivating spiritual life and executing devotional service are always engaged in activity. Such activity can be performed with the body or with the mind. Thinking, feeling, and willing are all activities of the mind. And when we will to do something, see, first is the mind, right? Desire. Desire is where it starts, but then it manifests in the mind, right, in contact with the modes. First, we will to do something. When we will to do something, the activity comes to be manifest by the gross bodily senses. Thus, in our mental activities, we should always try to think of Krishna and try to plan how to please Him. Those are good. Those plans take us to eternity. They don't take us to another prison zoo. Following in the footsteps of the great acharyas and the personal spiritual master, there are activities of the body, activities of the mind, and activities of speech. A Krishna-conscious person engages his words and preaching the glories of the Lord. This is called kirtan. And by his mind, a Krishna-conscious person always thinks of the activities of the Lord as he is speaking on the battlefield of Kurukshetra or engaging in his various pastimes in Vrindavan with his devotees. In this way, one can always think of the activities and pastimes of the Lord. This is the mental culture of Krishna consciousness, the mental culture. It's an active culture. Sometimes we hear that, you know, just by performing devotional service, one automatically, if we apply it, do we develop good qualities and we go back to Godhead. Okay, I'm going to ask different devotees to share their favorite way of fixing their mind on Krishna. But before I do that, I'll share with you my favorite way. Because I got the bully pulpit here and... I sacrificed one whole day of my human form of life in Calcutta to find this. But it was well worth it. I mean, for me, this is what works for me. Everybody's different, right? We're one, but we're different. So the way I fix my mind, I like to sing. So here we go. We're going to do a song everybody knows, but we're going to do it. I mean, if we can dovetail Shakespeare in the Bhagavatam, we can certainly dovetail Beethoven's Ninth. Right here. You know the words, but maybe you never sang it to this tune. Introduced to me by Hayagriva Prabhu, the most famous passage, the late great Hayagriva Swami. Character par excellence, and now with Prabhupada. Whoops. This is kind of awkward. Here we go. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 Rakshamam. Krishna, 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 Rakshamam. Krishna, 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 Pahimam. That means, O Lord Krishna, please protect me and maintain me. And the next part. Rama Raghava Rama Raghava Rama Raghava Raksham Ram. Rama Raghava Rama Raghava Raghava Raksham Ram. Rama Raghava Rama Raghava Rama Raghava Raksham Ram. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahimam.
Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahimam.
Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahimam.
Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava,
Yukta Vairagya. But you have the first line of that verse, the rub is, Yukta Vairagya, the rub, the difficulty, the challenge, is in the first line. Ana saptasya vishalam. You know what that means? When one is not attached to anything material, but at the same time is able to engage everything material, so-called material, in the service of Krishna, then one is rightly situated above possessiveness and Beethoven and Shakespeare and, you know, what to speak of other people. That means, O Lord Rama, descendant of King Raghu, please protect me. O Krishna, O Keshava, killer of the Keshi demon, please maintain me. So, just before I take your favorite ways of fixing your mind on Krishna, and there's no, if you can fix your mind on Krishna, it doesn't really matter, you know, as long as it's, you know, not sinful. I mean, if it's sinful, then you aren't really fixing your mind on Krishna. Anyway, what's the most confidential verse in the Bhagavad Gita? It's all about the mind, right? Man mana bhava mad bhakto mad yaji mam namaskuru
Mami Vaisasi Upvaivam Matmanam Matparayanaha. Now in that verse, Krishna has used personal pronoun, me or my, 6 times. This is why it's so amazing that one infamous commentator said, it's not to the person of Krishna we have to surrender, it's to the unborn, unmanifested, you know, blah, blah, blah. So, manmana, that's the first one. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Okay, so I shared with you my favorite way, through singing, so please, share with me your favorite way of fixing your mind on Krishna. This is how we are help each other. This is called loving exchange, and how we act as gurus for each other. This is the way it works. It takes a sampradaya to raise a sadhaka. I see Jamal Arjun with his hand up. Yes. Want to get here? Let's be. Yeah, just before you speak, you got a booming voice.
One verse that comes to my mind: one who says he's my devotee, he's not my devotee. So it's only going through the right intent of heart.
We're going to have the listening audience in Reykjavik, Iceland, hear this.
Hare Krishna, forgive me. Oh, close to Prabhupada. So, one who says he's my devotee, he's not my devotee, but one is a devotee, my devotee, my devotee, he's my devotee. So just by hearing your wonderful class and leaving myself open to Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas and seeing how Krishna is actually working in the present, like you said earlier, be here now, and feeling that reality, opening myself, my heart up to that presence of Prabhupada, of Lord Chaitanya, of Krishna, Radha, the whole Sampradaya, whatever's needed for that Divyan to come into the heart by grace or mercy, because it's grace or mercy. So that's how I, my sentiments anyway, I'm always praying to have that mood. Wherever I go, please Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, please show me how you're working in my life. I pray to beg for that anyway, to come deeper and deeper and deeper into that understanding, so that all the other kind of karmic boogeymen will go on the back 40, so to speak, eventually, I pray. And I want to thank you for your sweet class.
Thank you, Jamal Arjun. There you go. And Prabhu does practice that. He's always seeing Krishna in the devotees and his different energies. He must, because he lives in Sharanagati, where it's cold and it's like, you know, it's stark there. So, anyway. Okay, Manajis? Somebody? It's ladies' turn. How do you fix your mind on Krishna? I know, Ganga, you're holding out on us. Acha, I want to hear about this, because I see you. You see me waving from the roof, right? You know. Yeah, go get him. Go do it. On the sidelines, waving the flag, right? Right here. So, Ganga Mata, how do you tell us about that experience? How are you with Krishna and Harinath? Can you describe? Is that on?
When I chant with other people and try to give the holy name to others, is when I feel more Krishna's presence. No?
Wow. Did you hear that? Say it loud. Is that possible? You sing loud. Well, now you're on the stage.
Now my voice is not good.
You can't draw the veil. You gotta sing.
It's que now my voice, I cannot go for the Harinam because my voice is not good.
That's how you do it. You rest the voice between Harinams. So you sing for others, and you sing for the devotees, and you feel close to Krishna there. Do you know that Krishna says that attitude, nobody's dearer than someone, than that person. Right? That's what Krishna says. When you're sharing my glories, nachitasma manusheshu kashchin me priya kritama. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he or she. Nor will ever any be one more dear. Thank you. That's beautiful. Okay, so it's going to be hard to follow that one. Maybe Param Dham, maybe your other half. I was going to say better half, but that's... Param Dham, how do you fix your mind on Krishna? You're going to have to... We don't have to top your better half. It's impossible, right? Just...
I think that one of the best ways to with the Mahamantra is the Japa time.
Japa.
Yes, when I chant the Mahamantra. But also when I travel many times alone, I travel to distribute books.
Driving?
No, traveling.
Traveling. Okay.
And then we have to really depend on Krishna, no? And then you have to in any moment to pray Krishna to help me, you know, in the different situation, what to do, what not to do. And then this is helping me to...
Yeah, when you're in the middle of the Bhava Sindhu, you know, if you're out there with Prabhupada's books in the middle of the ocean of people who don't know that they're devotees too, you know, it's really, as Prabhupada writes, Sankirtan and Krishna consciousness go well together. You know? It's just like, whoa, Krishna, help. You have to be in the Draupadi mood, right? Please inspire this person. Take this book. Let me say and act and whatever to inspire them. Please work through me. Thank you. We'll take one more because it's getting late. Mataji, it's your turn. Bhakti Lata Devi Dasi, all the way from Alachua, Florida. A remote corner of the earth, Prabhupada said about Gainesville.
Far from the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Right?
I love dancing in kirtan. I feel it's the moment when all devotees come to a place of just bliss, and when I see everyone smiling, and it's when all barriers of language and culture and skin tone and whether like you're tall or short or anything, everything just dissolves. And we're all just connected with the holy name. Mm-hmm. All of my judgments, sin, like everything just seems to melt away. It's a time when I feel the most complete and happy. And it's in my life, there's certain kirtans that I've been in where they stand out like jewels, like times where I'm like, that's the perfection of my life when I'm just dancing in kirtan.
Wow. Kirtan Rasa, the safest place in the material world. Yeah, Vidyavadhu Jivanam. Okay, I'll just end the class by sharing a... Since you mentioned that, dancing in Kirtan, I have a wish that I leave my body in Kirtan. And that at the top of my leap, I don't stop. And the body drops. And Janani Vas Prabhu, you may take it to the Ganga and burn it up. That's my dream death. So if you should see that here, if you should see Sureshwar's body, you know, then, you know, lament not. I mean, that means somebody up there likes me. Okay, I don't know if we have time for questions. I'll tell you what, if you have any questions and you have time, please ask, but let's give everybody a chance to gracefully exit stage. You're right, my left. If you have services, please, the Lord wants you to do your duty. There's only twice in the Gita where Krishna repeats himself in verses. One's in connection with thinking of him, manmana, 1865, and the other is in connection with duty, 335 and 1847. So you know it's important. So thank you for coming, folks. And if you want to stay for questions, okay, we got. Okay, where's the mic? Thank you for coming. Mother Lakshmimoni, are you how is your leg today? And you can walk a little better today? Or? Time heals all wounds. And my father used to say, wounds all heals. Heals is a synonym for selfish person. Okay, we have Ganagami Prabhu up to bat.
The question I have is that if someone is very sinful, he has a lot of plans, then he has to take birth in a very, very low species. What happens to his plans? Do his plans remain with him in the subtle body through all these different evolutions that he has to go through to become a human being again?
Okay, before we answer the question, those who are remaining, this is still a class. Hint, hint. Okay, so let me see if I can rephrase the question. So the question was, it said that if you have plans, that you have to come back to fulfill those plans, but if you have to go to the lower species to fulfill the plans, then how can you fulfill the plans? Well, that's why it is said, man proposes and God disposes. So my plans may be that I want the moon, right? I just want the moon. But the material world is such that we have to, if we want the moon, we have to qualify ourselves to get the moon. You know, if you want to go to a higher world, you have to qualify yourself. So when Prabhupada's lecturing in Hawaii, to more directly answer your question, I hope, Prabhupada, I was in Hawaii for 10 years, so I'm qualified to make jokes about Hawaii. So Prabhupada, he would, but I was never there when Prabhupada was there, but I had plenty of people telling me what Prabhupada said when I went to Hawaii. So Prabhupada would joke about Hawaii, you know. There's no happiness in this material world, but if there is, it's in Hawaii. But then Prabhupada would very quickly balance it by saying, you say surfers, I say sufferers. Now the best surfers, Ganagamya Prabhu, are whom? Are who? Verb to be. Are who? Who are the best surfers out there?
Net surfers?
No, literally.
The dolphins, you're right.
The dolphins. So if I really want to, you know, if that's all I want to do in life, if that's my dream to be, you know, to look for the endless summer, the perfect wave, then there's better bodies. Have we got a body for you? Step right into the dress shop of material nature. Come right in. We got a discount. Yeah, that's the way it works. So, you know, we may say so many things, but by our desires, which reside in the subtle body, we're telling nature and Krishna, this is really what we want. So if that's what we want, you get it. So
somebody wants to be a big executive or something like that, it could be like the queen bee in the hive or something.
Thank you. And we're never satisfied, whatever it is. No. Okay, Prabhuji, behind.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. My question is, Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj said that all the activities in the Krishna consciousness is only for support to how to improve our chanting. How can we understand that?
Was it in the purport somewhere? Or?
Not a purport. He shared his experience or he...
Could you repeat slowly for my American English ears the exact words?
Exact word was...
Slowly.
In the Krishna consciousness...
Make believe you're making fun of an American, so you're talking like an American. You know, Americans make fun of Indians, but Indians also make fun of Americans. It's so funny to hear an Indian imitation of America. It sounds like John Wayne.
Yeah. All right, kid.
You know, that's how they do it. It's funny. Okay. Slowly.
Yes. Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj said, all the activities in Krishna consciousness, whatever do in the apart to chanting, that 2 hour or for the 16 round, there is 2 and 2.5 hour. At rest time, if we doing any activities in Krishna consciousness, it's only for support to our chanting. How can we understand that?
How can we not understand? I mean, that's who we are. You know, when Prabhupada recorded his first record, the Happening album, in 1966 at Alan Coleman's studio in the Lower East Side, as they walked, you know, as this improbable band of Merry Krishnas went to the studio, the studio people asked, who are you? And so Hayagriva said, oh, we're the Hare Krishna chanters. Or we're the Hare Krishna people. That's who we are. Yeah. Yeah, it's only because, Prabhupada would make this, maybe this can help you out a little bit. It's only because we're not at the platform of Kirtaniya Sadahari, Sada, always, you know, that Prabhupada gives us something to do. You know, we're therefore he gave us chanting in the morning, you know, chanting the five most essential limbs of bhakti, chanting Hare Krishna, worshipping the deity, associating with the devotees, being in a sacred place, and what's the other? Hearing the Bhagavatam. Oh. and then he gave us a whole day of seva, service. And then we should end the day also hearing and chanting. And then we'll have a fighting chance of having a good dream, right? Not a nightmare, but a good dream. And then waking up in relatively good consciousness so that we can serve. Because, especially in Kali Yuga, I mean, chanting Hare Krishna is effective in all ages, but as Prabhupada writes and speaks, it's especially effective in the Kali Yuga for God realization. Nama Chintamani Krishnash. Binava nama nami. No, there's no difference between nami, the named, and the name. Nami no. That's the way we access Krishna in the Kali Yuga. We're not qualified, you know, to do Ashtanga Yoga or elaborate sacrifices or really, I mean, you think the Mayapur Academy is challenging with the deity worship, but you should be in, you know, Dwarpa Yuga deity worship. That's really challenging. Punctilious deity worship like that. So the whole way Krishna makes himself available is through the holy name. And so, but while you're working, there's nothing stopping us from chanting Hare Krishna, you know. Krishna told Arjuna, Mam Anusmara Yudhyacha, think of me and fight. So when Arjuna was on the battlefield, you know, Savyasachi and ambidextrous, releasing those arrows with either hand, with either side, you know, and it's like when you see an airplane propeller and it goes so fast, it looks like it's going slow after a while, it's going so fast. So that's how fast Arjuna was shooting his arrows. So you can bet, we're not betting people, but if you can bet, you can bet that Arjuna, he was absorbed in the details of his service, and that was not different than chanting. But at the same time, there's no bar for us, even while we're working. Like, what Walt Disney movie was it? Can I give me? Just whistle while you work. Da 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 da. Pinocchio, whistle while we don't. No, don't whistle while you work. You're going to become a ghost. Oops, sorry. Whistle, no, chant Krishna while you work. Da, 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 da. Yeah. So now we're dovetailing Pinocchio. Anyway, it's all about remembering Krishna, and the way we do it in Kali Yuga, especially tailored, designed by the most intelligent designer, Krishna, is his name. So it's all about that. And you'll have very good realization to this, Prabhu. Prabhuji, what's your name?
Madhvati
Prasad. Padvati. Okay, Prabhuji, when you're, if your body makes it to like 89, and that's all you can do, then you will have realization of that, that it's really all about the name. That's especially how we access Krishna in the Kali Yuga. There's no difference. All right, it's almost 9 o'clock. Thanks for listening. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Go, Premanandi.